Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Puckcord. Thanks for tuning into our podcast so far, and I hope you're really enjoying it. If you have any feedback to share, I'd love to hear it. So go ahead and email us at hello@puckcord.com. So for today's episode, I've brought on two guests, and both of them have already been on the show before, but the episode is so social that I felt like we needed some established personalities for this one. The first guest is Myra. She's from the Depression and Marriage episodes, which is episode number 2 and episode number 3. And the second guest is Amaz. He's from the 9th episode, the Scotland one. Both Myra and Amaz were brought on here to speak to our modern methods of communication, which is namely social media, social networks, the internet, texting, and phone calls, of course. I especially brought out Myra for this episode to speak more about her lack of exposure to the internet prior to this year. She's 21 years old and she grew up in New York. And for the most part, she grew up away from social networks, until recently, of course. And this is what she had to say on episode number 2.
Well, I just discovered the internet this year, so hopefully,
what?
As I
we're living in, under,
dive, yeah, okay, under, I would be living under a rock, but I will just.
But how is that possible? You grew up in New York, right?
Huh.
I didn't know you could like talk to people on the internet. Like, I know it sounds like such an absurd idea to people.
She's
that
21.
Haven't lived that way, but I have. So for me, it's a totally new concept and a totally new world.
So in this episode, I'm going to ask Myra to speak more to what she means by...
I didn't know you could like talk to people on the internet.
What does that actually mean? Because after speaking to her, I was able to clarify that she didn't mean that statement literally. Of course, she knows what texting is. And of course, we can talk to people on Facebook and Instagram. She knows that. So I'll basically probe her a little bit on this question. So here's the topic. Do you both have your laptops on?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have iPad.
You could use your iPad, yeah. So here's the thing. Don't cheat. Don't use Google. But I was going to ask you if you know what nomophobia means. Do you know nomophobia?
No.
It's a real word.
I knew it before, too.
So Amaz is definitely new to this, so he'll have the shock factor. So Amaz, you don't know what nomophobia is, right?
I have no idea.
It is the irrational fear of being without your mobile phone.
Oh my God, no way.
Or being unable to use your phone. You know, like, there's phobias in the dictionary for pretty much everything nowadays. There's a phobia for anything and everything. So this is the one for not having your phone around. Nomophobia. Do you get it? Like, no mobile phobia. That's how it became a word.
Okay, I have no idea.
Yeah, like, now it'll stick in your mind when you're thinking of it. Mo for mobile.
Now I'm going to be wondering if I have it.
Yeah, I think we all do. Because here's a stat from a study done that was posted in the New York Post and several other, actually, news articles. The average American, how often do you think they check their phone per day?
At least 100 times. At least 100 times.
I think more.
The study is saying 80 times, but that's still a lot. But good guess.
Because I know, like, iPhone has this feature now where it actually tells you how many times you've opened your phone.
Oh, yeah.
If you do the update, and I'm not doing the update just for that reason.
Oh, come on.
Because I feel like after I check, I'm going to turn off my phone and never look back.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing. Yeah, you should.
No, it doesn't remind you. It's like a page in the settings. I checked it.
Yeah. It basically just tells you how many times you've opened your phone.
Yeah, you can also adjust the times. It prompts you, like, hey, stop using your phone. You can get sick or something.
Right. Well, this study is, I think, about 2 years old by now, so I wouldn't be surprised if that number has gone up. Yeah, because times are changing so fast. Times are changing so quickly, right?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I was remembering, 2012, like just 5-6 years ago, if you think about it, taking pictures from your phone was not that big of a habit as it is now.
True.
Because phones back then weren't even... Let me look something up, like 2012 smartphones. If you look up their camera stats, like their specs, it's probably not that great. Let's check. So look, here it is. iPhone 5, 8 megapixel camera. Actually, that's not too bad. On the back, and then 1.2 megapixels in the front. The front cameras especially had not evolved.
Oh, definitely not, no.
So the modern selfie was not perfected back then.
I still haven't perfected it, so don't feel bad.
Well, that's where snap filters are for.
Yeah, no, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, but if you think about it, like, I remember when I was in college back then and going out with friends for dinner, it still wasn't that big of a habit to take photos of your food as much as it is now. But now it seems like we've been doing this forever. If you imagine your life now, how it is, your relationship with your phone, it almost feels like it's always been like that, at least for me.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine, like, the first iPhone came out, what, 11 years ago in 2007? Man.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
That's not long. That's not that long.
Oh, wow. Holy.
It's not. Yeah. Seriously, it's not. Yeah.
My dad used to have, like, the Motorola Razr V3. Man, that was some phone. I still remember, you know, the flip action.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. The flip phone.
Blackberries.
Funny.
Oh, Blackberries was the rage, man.
You remember having 1 week of battery? That was amazing.
Was that ever a thing?
Okay, I'm going to pause there for just a minute. Let's reflect on that for a bit. The first iPhone came out 11 years ago as of today, 2018. Myra is 21 years old and Amaz is 23. So 11 years ago, Myra was 10 and Amaz was 12. And I was 18 years old. While I personally fall right in the middle of this generation of kids called millennials or Generation Y, Myra and Amaz are at an interesting little junction. They're right at the intersection of millennials, also called Generation Y, as I mentioned, and the next generation, which is Generation Z. Millennials are roughly born in the early 80s to mid 90s, and Generation Zers, while their exact dates are disputed, they're often agreed to have been born in the mid to late 90s or early 2000s. So Amaz and Myra still remember flip phones, of course. I'm sure they can still remember those old rotary dial phones as well, and life before iPhones and Facebook. But what about the kids born 10 to 15 years ago? This is the iPhone generation, also called the iGeneration or iGen. So putting all the stereotypes aside, we're definitely living in a time of blind acceptance for technology. That's my perspective. Now, let me explain that with an example. So my 2-year-old niece, she still hasn't learned to speak. But mashallah, she knows exactly how to use a smartphone or iPad. One time, a few weeks ago, I gave her my phone at the home screen. I didn't open up any app for her, just to see if she could figure it out herself. So she took the phone from me, and she recognized the YouTube icon, and she clicked on it. Then, of course, she's only 2, so she can't type her searches yet. So she just clicked on any random video that I had, which had nothing to do with what she's interested in. She clicked on that video, and she went to the related video section, and she clicked on another video, and then another, until she finally found something that she was looking for, cartoons. So this is the next generation of kids, the technology generation, the iGen. They learn to run before they can walk. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? We won't know, I guess. Time will tell. So let's go back to Myra and Amaz now. Yeah, flip phones literally could last for a week.
That's true. I guess I don't remember how much, because I really didn't use my phone that much back then. It was more for like a safety precaution more than anything. Yeah.
I remember there was this one Google CEO or founder or something, like Larry Page or Eric Schmidt or something like that. He still used a BlackBerry, like I think 5-6 years ago when everyone was using the iPhone, the Google Pixel and all these fancy new Androids. He still said, I'm just using a BlackBerry because it just does what I need it to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fair enough.
Yeah, right. Well, at that level, you can imagine there's no time to slack off or, you know, have distractions. True. And cell phones have so many distractions now, right?
I can imagine
at that level, like if I was a billionaire and needed to get work done, all you really need to do is make phone calls every now and then. And you need a phone that lasts a long time. So BlackBerries can help you achieve that, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So remember we were talking about nomophobia?
Yeah.
So you can actually go to the website, nomophobia.com. And they have a quiz on that website that you can take to determine if you have nomophobia.
Okay, great.
It's like a 5-question quiz. We can walk through it together. So I'm going to click on take the test and we can, I guess, all go through it together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. First question, Myra, do you want to read that out?
Sure. So which one of these scenarios would make you the most anxious? A, walking into a dark, confined space. B, your phone slipping from your hands. C, a hairy spider, not just any spider, a hairy spider on the bath. D, a pointy needle coming towards you.
So your phone slipping from your hands, that's we obviously know where this is going.
Yeah, definitely not. For me, it's walking into a dark confined.
Yeah, right. It's the spider for me. I hate spiders, man.
Spiders.
Creepy crawlies.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Because a phone slipping from my hands, I definitely get that adrenaline rush.
I drop my phone all the time, so
yeah, I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah, my heart definitely goes over 100 beats per minute, but it's probably not as scary as like the first two options, the hairy spider and the dark confined space. You know, it's one of those things that you can't, like, your body reacts before you can even think. You
right,
know? Your
yeah.
body will
that's true, yeah.
like get the adrenaline rush before you can even say, oh, it's really not that big of a deal. I dropped it on carpet. but you know how it goes. Okay, question number two. Amaz, you can go with that.
So when you arrive to meet friends, the first thing you are most likely to say is, A, where did you get that coat? B, my God, look at you. You look absolutely great. C, I'm low on power. You don't have a charger for this type of phone on you? D, oh my God, this place is amazing. Can we sit closer to a socket?
Yeah, so these are the things you say to your friend as soon as you walk in.
I actually am scared of having low battery, but that's not because of my phone. That's because if something bad happens, then I can't contact my mom.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it's not like, oh my God, I can't update everyone on the social media I do not have. It's more like, okay, like, if I'm in a really bad situation, how am I going to get out of it without my phone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's more like that. But if I lose battery, or, like, how am I going to call my Uber or things like that? But
no, that's a fantastic point, actually, because towards the end of it, yeah. I wanted to talk about, like, hey, there's actual benefits to having a phone as well, that advantages that we have now
for sure.
that we did not, like, 10, mm-hmm. 20 years ago, right? And that's mm-hmm. one of them, like, where you can access emergency or services anytime we want.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to the next question. I'll read this one. What is the very last thing you usually do at night? A, take one last look at your mobile. B, check the doors and windows. C, look under the bed for monsters. And D, tuck a loved one in.
You guys are going to laugh. For me, it's check the doors and windows, because that's how...
I was going to say that.
Oh my God, yeah, because I'm both scared.
I'll look at my phone, man. I feel good.
Look at your phone?
Yeah, of course, man. Like, I have my charger right next to me when I'm sleeping, so plug it in. Then.
Well, you know, experts say you should not do that. Keep your phone charging in your living room. But of course, we're not experts, so nor do we like them.
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead and finish the quiz. I think for me, it's just I am actually free from nomophobia. But
mm-hmm.
we all know which answer was going to lead to the the end result.
Mine is, yeah, you are free from nomophobia.
Free from nomophobia as well.
Quick pause. I do think I have some form of nomophobia. I think I should mention that before my wife calls me out. But it's just that the website determined that I don't. But I think I do. Yeah, the quiz was a little too easy, too predictable. But
yeah,
there's like actual
true.
Questions that you could ask yourself. That's the thing. I think this website was made more for fun. And again, the website is nomophobia.com for people who mm-hmm. are listening. But like, it's more for fun, but it could make you ask yourself questions like,
mm-hmm.
how many times do I check the phone every day, right? That's one. It's a very common one. Do you go to the bathroom and like sometimes sit on the toilet and then get back up because you forgot your phone outside? I've done that. I've admittedly done that.
No comments.
Amaz, you know you've done that. You could send out so many texts. You could do so much browsing while you're in there.
All while pooping. Yeah. You're actually productive. Oh, modern. this is modern.
Yeah.
By the way, Red and Myra, are you guys familiar with the concept of fubbing?
No.
How's that spelled?
Fubbing. PHUBBING.
No, I've never even heard of that.
So fubbing, you can Google it. You can cheat this time. Fubbing is basically using your phone, not conversating with someone else. Like, you're in a social gathering and you're using your phone instead of actually talking to the other person. So this phenomenon has actually been labeled fubbing. So there's actually been a lot of like posters and stuff like, stop fubbing.
Oh, okay, yeah. I know that's a thing, but I didn't know that there was a word for it. Yeah.
Dude, people do that so much now. It's so annoying.
Way too much. Even like, especially on the dinner table when you're having dinner at like guests or you are a guest,
mm-hmm.
right? People start using their phone, taking pictures of the food. I'm like, man, what are you doing?
Dude, it's bad.
Because it feels like you're not giving attention to the person in front of you. Mm-hmm. Rather, you're just giving attention to your phone. So it feels bad, man.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly.
So I completely stopped using mm-hmm. my phone after that.
That's actually really good. Like, I mean, I have a friend, right? What she'll do is, like, if we ever go out to eat, I mean, I hope she's not listening to this, but what she'll do, and I've told her so many times, it annoys the crap out of me, because if we go out to eat, she'll pour food, and she'll pour, like, it really, like, it'll look really good, and then she'll take a picture, and then she'll, like, pour, like, 10 times more, and then actually start eating.
Oh.
It's the craziest thing. And she'll spend so much time doing that. Like, I'm, like, done eating by the time she's done making her plate for Instagram or whatnot. And then actually her plate.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
And so actually, funny. Like, you know, when you get your food, when you're waiting for food at the restaurant and you actually get it, you're not supposed to touch it because it has to be in that same exact, like, setup oftentimes for the
right. Right, yeah, yeah, yeah. So
it's actually rude, too. Yeah.
Like, human interaction is so important. We are human after all. Like, we're not machines, right? And, like, no one's saying don't use your phone, but you should limit that time that you do, especially if you're outside and you have the opportunity for social interaction outside of your phone. You should totally do that.
Yeah, because people often point to millennials being too engaged on the internet, but honestly, like, the next generation is even more because they're born into it.
They're going to be so much worse.
I actually remember a time before Facebook. I remember a time before modern cell phones, smartphones. So, but we're getting kids now who are really smart on Reddit, on Discord, and they've actually been born into, like, they've never seen life before. It's just hard for me to imagine this, but there's kids, obviously, were born after 9/11. And it just blows my mind.
I know.
No, I've actually met some people who didn't know what 9/11 was. I said, like, oh, 9/11, goodbye, yeah, whatever. They're like, what's 9/11? I'm like, man, what?
You're like, do you live under a cave?
Yeah, it doesn't register in the mind, like, these guys haven't experienced 9/11 or anything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, think of other major events that we would find weird. Like, for example, the Cold War. I know it happened. Why do I care, right?
Mm-hmm.
I should care.
Oh, that's true. That's true, actually.
That's just how, unfortunately...
I mean, like the war in Afghanistan, it started in 2001, the invasion in Afghanistan 2001. It's still 2018, 17 years now. I don't think the younger generation knows that, you know, America is still at war with Afghanistan or something. Mm-hmm. It's just like they're not used to that kind of information.
Yeah, right. Because, great point. Because when you open your history books up, you've probably noticed of several wars in history that were like 50 years long. Have you ever thought to yourself, like, why the hell are those wars? Like, what happened during those 50 years? Why were they at war for 50 years? Like, usually you would figure, like, in 6 months, things out. Lots of people die and, you know, they come to some kind of agreement. But 50 years, like, there's, like, wars that went for 20 years, 10 years. And I always found that astounding. But, yeah, there's obviously a lot of phases, I think, during wars. And that's kind of the war in Afghanistan is going through. There's not, like, active fighting all the time, you know?
Yeah. It's like, there was a term, Fabian tactics, essentially. You destroy one source of supply, they destroy one source of supply. So it's kind of like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth for all these years.
Oh, yeah. Right. Myra, I was going to follow this up because you made some points about too much exposure to cell phones. And it reminds me on a previous episode on the depression one, I think you said you did not know the internet. Or at least I guess you didn't know that people could talk on the internet. So you were really new to the internet until like early this year.
Know if it's inspiring to many, but basically what I mean by like I was never on the internet is I probably don't have a footprint anywhere because I was not on any social media. So like I never had Instagram, I never had a Facebook, so I was kind of really disconnected in a lot of ways that other people were connected, and I still am. It's just that I to me, talking to people on the internet was that whole scenario where like there's like a really old guy pretending to be like a kid talking to you. So it's like a predator. So I always had that kind of at the back of my head, which is why I guess I never really came to the internet until this year. So and I guess maybe because I didn't know what it was or how much you can connect to people that don't live around you, that I never really felt the need for in the past.
So what did you do? Like, what did you do in your free time when other kids were like playing World of Warcraft?
I was much more productive. I will tell you that I was much more productive. So like when you're not the internet, right? What it is all your free time, you fill it up with other things. So I read a lot. Like reading is my form of entertainment. Like that's my chosen form.
That's so nice.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's like TV. Like that's my TV. Mm-hmm. And it's just always been. And I would interact with people much more. So, like, if you want to talk to me, you would have to text me or you would have to come see me. That's how it would work. Or, like, if you wanted to know about my life, you couldn't go on any profile and find out what's going on. So, I guess that also made me have more closer friends over the years. Because, so, you know how, like, on Facebook, right? You can have, like, 10,000 friends.
Yeah, for some reason.
Of course, yeah.
Those are just people that kind of stalk you. Like, which is, okay, that's so absurd to me. Like, I do not understand to this day how people are okay with that. That I have like 1,000 people that look through my shit. Like, they know what I'm doing. They know where I was. They know what I was eating. They know where I went on holiday. But I don't talk to them. So, like, why do they need to know those things? So, to me, it's a really absurd idea that if I'm not talking to you, like, if we haven't had actual interaction, there's no reason for you to be knowing all that stuff about me.
That's true. That's so true.
So, to me, it's still really weird.
No, I absolutely agree. And I think it is absurd. But for some reason, back then, and even now, actually, it's like a trophy hunt, like, getting more friends on the internet just to kind of prove something, like, I'm really happy. I know so many people.
Yeah, but I agree with Myra because like I started using Snapchat. Oh my, Snapchat like about a year ago, year and a half ago.
Right.
But I never got to like fully use it because I felt so weird. Like it felt like a mirror that I'm looking into other people's lives, and it felt so uncomfortable for me. Like, this guy is sharing like this video. They're going to this place. Mm-hmm. They're going to the office. They're having a meal. They keep just sharing and sharing and sharing. It's like the most mundane stuff. And it felt like, you know, why am I looking into this person's life? They're not that interesting. Please. No offense to you.
To be honest, weirdly enough, that's the one that I do have. Like, that's the one that I actually made last year, like early. And it's because one, you can choose who you send your pictures to and they delete. So I don't always have to post them. Like I'll hardly post something for everyone to see. So like I will send them individually. And I actually made that during like when we went on a trip and everyone's like, oh, like show us where you are. So I'm like, this was just like a much easier way of getting things to everyone. But even then, like I'll use that for people I know, because a lot of people would think because I'm not on any social media, I'm more anti-social, but that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Like, like even when I go on vacation, I am never the one taking pictures, ever. Like, I have, like, if anyone asks me, I have zero pictures because I'm not used to it. So there's just a lot of things that because I haven't used the internet as much. So I used the internet for school, maybe YouTube sometimes for music, and my email. That's about it. Like, that's literally explains me. Like, I don't even like reading books online.
Wait, so you didn't have an email like before this year?
No. I did. Because for school.
Okay.
An email. Yeah. I mean, like, even like for school, when they'd have like these Facebook groups, I was like, no. Like, it was just something I was totally against at the time. Like, now I'm not against it. It's just something I choose not to do. But I just think that it feeds into this idea of perfection nowadays that like it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know, but like us like editing all these pictures and like feeling bad about ourselves. So like I like that I don't have that problem, which I think I would if I was really into Instagram and Facebook and all of that. And have you noticed there's like this thing nowadays where unless you post it, you haven't done it.
It didn't happen.
That's what it is.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that like that's fine with me.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we're so digitally connected. Here's an example outside of like social media, right? I have this pedometer. It's kind of like the Fitbit. It catches how many steps you walk. I've been really liking it. I got it off Amazon for $15. I like it a lot. It's cheap and it's super effective.
That's
so like the other day, I went running after work. I forgot the pedometer. And so I was actually sad. I texted my wife saying, oh my God, I ran like 2 miles and it doesn't even add into, you know, my total steps for the day. So now it's going to look like I only walked 2,000 steps. And I didn't cry or anything, but I was just like, I was just wondering to myself, wow, why am I upset? This is crazy. You know, I don't really need that to feel like, you know, I'm improving my fitness.
Oh yeah. I see your point. Yeah. Because it shows up on that chart or something like that you ran like 2 kilometers, but that gap in the data.
Yeah. The chart makes you look bad. I can't show it off to people. And I can't show it off to myself, like the benefits of what I wanted to provide to my body are already there. So it really doesn't matter, but stupid things like that, we get caught
up
in them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm actually an old
you are
soul. Like, I don't think I was meant to be born in this time. And it's funny because people get really shocked. because they're like, but you're so outgoing. And it's like, shocker, you can be outgoing. But like, it's kind of like you make your own rules. You don't have to follow those certain rules. Because a lot of people think that they're going to miss out on so much of their friends, but you really don't. Because then they, make an effort to actually talk to you, right? And like, they'll make an effort to update you on their life. And it's almost like a you text until you're going to go meet them. Like, that's how it kind of works with me anyways. So it's like, we have a lot to talk about. And like, you think you don't meet a lot of people, but like, you do. And like, because here's the other really interesting thing. Because you're meeting people in real life, you're going to meet them at school, or you're going to meet them places that you like going. So of course, they're going to be like-minded people that you're more likely to get along with, because they're in environments that you like.
Going back to like those 1,000, 10,000 friends you can have on Facebook, right? If you think about how Facebook reminds them that it's your birthday and they're all right on your wall, many of them that you haven't even spoken to you in years, right? But how many of them will actually call you for your birthday? And then how many do you call for their birthday?
Very few.
That is a really good point. But like, I do think there's pros and cons to everything. And to me, the cons just outweigh the pros. But that's a personal choice. Other times they'll try to convince me. They'll be like, no, no, look, look, look. Like, look at this feature. Look at this thing you can do.
There's too many. Yeah, there's too many ways to update people on your life. Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter.
Right? Because what's happening now is, right, you're putting so much of your information online that it's so much easier for it to be misused.
Dude, but like, yeah, I was using my Evernote, which is like a note-taking app. So I logged in and like it said on my phone, okay, you're logged in to too many devices. I'm like, man, I only have two devices. So I went on my settings, login, and there was another login device. I'm like, yeke. There was just some guy who logged in from India. Oh, wow. I'm like, I've never been to India. So my account was compromised.
They're infiltrating.
Yeah, and there was this site called haveibeenhacked.com something like that. So I checked, I put in my email ID over there. So there were like 6 or 7 websites that were compromised. Like millions of passwords, email addresses have been leaked.
Right. Haveibeenpwned.com. That's what it is.
Haveibeenpwned.com, yeah. So my email was on like 4 or 5 sites. I'm like, shit.
Yeah. No, I've seen that too.
It was kind of a shocker for me because we can actually be compromised like this. And in my Evernote, I had all my like passport details and everything.
Oh yeah, it's very scary. Yeah.
Oh my god.
So I had to change my passport and everything. So
yeah. See,
internet security is like a really big thing now. So you have to be conscious. Mm-hmm.
I would strongly tell everybody, you guys and everybody listening, to like take advantage of 2-factor authorization on your phones and on pretty much every one of your accounts, especially your bank accounts. So 2-factor, I think everybody knows what it is once I describe it, but it's basically when you put in your username and password, the app or the website will actually send you a text message on your phone just to have like a second layer of defense and just to kind of validate that it's actually you. And oftentimes that text message is now replaced with Google Authenticator or some other authenticating app. But it actually, I think it's very hacker-proof at this point. So unless that hacker actually has compromise your phone as well, or like physically taken your phone, they won't be able to log into your accounts. So enable 2-factor authorization. You can do it for Discord, Instagram, Facebook, your bank accounts, pretty much anything.
Pretty much anything.
Yeah. No. So it's very important. And of course, have strong passwords when we were talking about misuse of social media. So another quick pause. You might be wondering, how does this relate to Pakistan? We talked about reducing screen time for reasons like being more in the moment and enjoying more fulfilling relationships between your family and friends, reducing screen time to keep your information private, that's very important. And many of these same reasons apply to mostly Western lifestyles, but they do also apply for Pakistani lifestyles as well. But for Pakistan, because of the dynamic of our country, some issues seem to be compounded, such as security and privacy. So Pakistan is still a developing country. The middle class is growing, but a great portion of people are still struggling to eat, let alone buy name brand cell phones, of course. But unlike most good things, money isn't really much of a barrier anymore to accessing the internet. Many smartphones are quite cheap now, and computer hardware is becoming less and less expensive with mass production. So the internet is easily accessible for so many people, and we're seeing that with the number of users rising on the internet throughout the years. Let's get Myra and Amaz's perspective on this.
Yeah, the problem is there's such a dichotomy, and I've noticed that because after finally interacting with people from Pakistan, because their environment is so conservative,
pause. I want to add some clarification in here. Because this podcast has been edited for length and parts of it have been left out, I want to clarify that Myra is not talking about the average Pakistani here. She's actually referring to a certain demographic of primarily boys who live dual lives, one online and one offline. This is a worldwide phenomenon. It's not specific to Pakistan. She'll explain that in a bit.
And then they come to the internet, and it's not like that at all. That it creates this conflict in their head, which I think makes it worse, right? Because it's like they're told two different things from two different sources. So that too can lead to a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's a worldwide problem too. But because this is a Pakistani podcast, we're talking about... I specifically wanted to shine a light on this case because there's kids who are... Well, kids and grown-ups, actually more grown-ups than kids, who are keeping two different faces. Mm-hmm. One is a face you show to society, which is like, I'm a very conservative, very family-oriented mm-hmm. guy who never once looked at a girl. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I support blasphemy laws and all this, you know. and then on the internet, you're like completely free. You're looking at everything and anything. And you're hungry. And you're like messaging random white girls across the oceans to tell them to convert to Islam and whatnot. You know, like there's actual cases of this stuff like...
It's just something I've experienced with us.
It sounds so bizarre, like, and this actually happens.
I know many girls, you know, in my family, outside my family, over here in the US. They see girls too. Forget the white ones, but they all have been messaged from back home with many invitations for many things.
Yeah.
Honestly, the internet is a responsibility that comes for free for a lot of people. And unfortunately, I think... Yeah, I mean, there's like people taking photos. Like Myra said, there's photos on our, public accounts. They can take them, Photoshop them.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's a huge problem because a lot of people don't realize that you have to be aware everywhere. So on the internet too, because they think you're behind a screen, you can do whatever you want. But it's like you're still leaving a print behind, right? Like you're less accountable, I guess, but you're still somewhat accountable for your actions because they're going to go somewhere, right? So like if you're pretending to be this really conservative guy and then you come online and you're like Bob's in the jean.
Yeah. Okay, Bob's in the jean. For those who don't know, it's a slang phrase for body parts, which isn't fully appropriate to describe on this podcast. If you want to learn what it is, just Google it or look it up on Urban Dictionary. And to be fair, this concept of young kids taking over the internet and leaving footprints willy-nilly and messaging random people, it's not specific to Pakistan or Pakistanis. Much of it, in fact, I'd say a majority of it, is shared by Indians, which is a no-brainer since India is a much larger country in terms of population. In fact, there's a Reddit community dedicated to this phenomena and this demographic of kids called Are Indian People Facebook. This Reddit community contains things like text messages from young brown kids to confused strangers, photoshopped celebrity pictures with their faces in them, and random comments on YouTube videos and Facebook posts, which sometimes have nothing to do with the actual content. You can find the link for this Reddit community in this podcast description.
And I said Vegana or something because I'm like, Vegana. What are you guys talking about?
Hello, baby. Show Bob.
Hello, bitch.
I have, like, which person are you? Right? So, like, you have to understand that too because a lot of people, like, I've heard from a lot of people, like, they'll say to me that, oh, like, you know, I'm not this edgy in real life or, like, I'm not like this in real life. Like, if you ever meet me, I'm much nicer or, like, and I'm just thinking to myself, like, if there's such a difference between who you're being on the internet and who you're, like, there's a huge problem in that. Like, there's a huge, huge problem in that because there's a conflict and it's only going to get worse and that leads to other things. So, you have to be really aware of how you're being, like, for yourself more than other people.
Yeah, and this can be especially dangerous if you're dating someone using apps or something.
Okay, that scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, that's a whole different dimension
that's
now.
Very scary.
Oh, yeah, no, like that, I can't do.
So, Myra, Amaz, and I spoke for some length and then we wrapped it up. But essentially, the episode is not wrapped up. We just scraped the surface of these growing pains of the internet, especially the Pakistani aspect of it. There's so many angles which I wanted to cover with this episode, and so many stories, but couldn't with the knowledge that it all couldn't fit into a 40-minute episode. So I think a part 2 of this episode is definitely warranted. Again, If you have thoughts on this topic or any interesting stories to share, feel free to email us at hello@popcore.com. Stay tuned and look out for more. And at the very least, I hope this was good food for thought for now. Thank you and see you next time.